Hello, this is Mr. Petey Pete, and you are listening to WGXC Acra 90.7 and WGXC.org, streaming all over the world.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network.
I'm Tom Rowan Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. Today, we will hear from Liz Moran, the New York policy advocate for Earth Justice, talking about the group's environmental legislative priorities for 2022 as things get underway in Albany this week. We will also hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate, and we'll hear new local music from Hudson's Buick and Gace today on the WGXC Morning Show, and it begins after the news, which is next. Stay tuned.
The news. This is the network, network.
On air, in air, waves
controlled.
On air, in air,
channel
connection.
And the moon
turns to blood. A stream runs through.
This is the network,
network.
This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network,
network.
This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network.
This is the news.
This is the network.
This is the news.
This is the network.
Network.
This is the news.
Do you have 17 cents a day to support a platform for many diverse voices to have their say on the local airwaves? Just 17 cents a day, a monthly $5 recurring donation, can help keep local youth on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM. Your monthly sustaining support will keep the airwaves full of music from around the world and around the corner. WGXC needs 500 sustaining supporters to make sure there is one spot on the dial where the community can have access to its own airwaves. Make your pledge today at WGXC.org/donate and do your part to protect an important source of local news, information, and entertainment. With just 17 cents a day, you will do your part to protect your favorite frequency. Become a sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org/donate now.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Elizabeth Powell Leather Items of Craryville, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Every day recently, local counties are reporting record numbers of new COVID-19 cases and a rising number of hospitalizations and deaths. Columbia County broke all of its COVID-19 records with its January 10th announcement, reporting 335 new cases and three more deaths. Columbia County has 18 people hospitalized with coronavirus and three in intensive care. Across the Hudson River, Greene County reported 276 more cases on January 10th and three more deaths. Currently, 41 Greene County residents are hospitalized with COVID-19. Mike Goodwin in the Times Union reported that Albany County is now averaging almost 1,000 new coronavirus cases a day. On January 10th, Albany County reported 1,115 new positive cases, making the county's 7-day average of new daily positive cases 966. quote, "This is the third consecutive day that I've had to report new daily COVID infections well above 1,000, a trend that is likely to continue," unquote. Albany County Executive Dan McCoy said, quote, "Unfortunately, we're seeing hospitalizations moving in the wrong direction as well, and we now have the most county residents currently in the hospital with the virus since February 4th, unquote. Currently, there are 122 Albany County residents with the virus in the hospital, with 13 people in intensive care. Meanwhile, in Ulster County, the Daily Freeman reported that almost a third of the Ulster County Jail's 104 corrections officers, 8 of the sheriff's 57 full-time deputies, and 19 of the jail's 152 inmates have COVID-19 as of January 8th. Quote, "It's a petri dish," unquote, Ulster County Sheriff Juan Figueroa said of the jail. Quote, "It's unfortunate. Sheriff's offices throughout the region are going through this issue, and we just can't move our inmates to any other locations," unquote. Figueroa said he will cancel no-contact visits this week and is likely to close a special housing unit for inmates with opioid addiction. Correction officers who are not infected are working 3 or 4 double shifts in a row, according to the sheriff. Figueroa also said that inmates with underlying medical conditions who are within 30 days of the end of their sentences will likely be released early. Quote, "We are obligated, of course, and we will continue to do the job we are assigned to do with what we have," unquote, he said. Correction officers there are not mandated to be vaccinated, and Figueroa estimated that only 55% of the sheriff's office employees are vaccinated. By contrast, about 71% of Ulster County residents are fully vaccinated.
Brendan J. Lyons reports in the Times Union that 2 Republican members of the State Board of Elections cited investigations into Republican voter fraud in Rensselaer County as an example to criticize Governor Kathy Hochul for recently signing 2 laws they say, and I quote, "are a direct threat to the integrity of the election process," end quote. Peter S. Kosinski and Anthony J. Casal, the Republican members of the Board of Election, released a statement January 10th that said, in part, "The first bill allows third parties, political operatives, to apply for absentee ballots for voters by doing away with the requirement that the voters sign the absentee ballot application prior to the ballot being sent to the voter. We have seen in various parts of New York the manipulation of this process, which was allowed by an executive order by former Governor Andrew Cuomo in response to the COVID-19 pandemic," end quote. The state police and FBI are currently investigating allegations that political operatives in Rensselaer County manipulated the absentee voting process, with voters claiming absentee ballots were cast in their names without their permission in last November's election. So far, no charges have been filed as the investigation continues. Last month, state police seized the mobile phone of Rensselaer Mayor Michael E. Stammel as part of the investigation. While Hochul did not respond to the attack, State Majority Leader Andrea Stewart Cousins, a Democrat, said they will continue to fight Republican efforts to restrict voting. She said, and I quote, "They are willing to put their money, obviously, into making sure people do not vote. We, on the other hand, will continue to educate. We must continue to push," end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Pat Doxey is reporting for the Daily Freeman that the Democratic lawmakers January 10th asked Dutchess County Executive Mark Molinaro to enforce the county's COVID safety guidance after Republicans, including Majority Leader Will Truitt and Legislator Clark Lee Wagner, declined to wear masks during the legislature's January 4th organizational meeting. In their letter, the 8-member Democratic caucus asked the executive to enforce the CDC recommendation and the county's own guidance urging that masks be worn in all indoor public places, including the county office building. That recommendation states that masks are recommended in substantial or high transmission area, quote, "even if you are vaccinated," unquote. Dutchess County Health Department also recommends masks be worn in indoor public spaces. According to the press release, in addition to Truitt and Wagner, Republican legislator Mike Polasek declined to wear a mask during the meeting. Chair Greg Pulver, who was seated next to Wagner on the dais, did not direct the 3 to put on their masks and removed his mask while conducting the meeting. At the end of the meeting, Pulver was asked to address the issue of legislators and staff not wearing masks, and the chairperson said lawmakers should, quote, "use your common sense and don't go within 6 feet of those not wearing masks," unquote. Molinaro spokesperson Colleen Pillis said questions about the legislators' actions should be directed to Pulver. But she added, quote, my understanding is that legislators who attend in person for the legislators' upcoming meetings, with the next being the committee meetings on Thursday, January 13th, will be wearing masks, unquote. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman.
Diane Baldwin is reporting in the Columbia paper that the Ankrum Town Board voted themselves raises at their December 16th meeting. The board, and I quote, wishes to adjust certain elected officials' salaries to reflect the 5.9% increases in the cost of living index between third quarter 2020 and third quarter 2021, end quote. The town supervisor's annual salary was increased from $4,950 in 2021 to $5,250 in 2022. Town board members went from 2,875 to 3,050. The town highway superintendent increased from 60,500 to 64,100, and the town clerk's salary went from 32,000 to 33,950. And everyone on town payroll is getting a raise, though the amounts differ. Politically, the raises come at a good moment as property taxes will go down by 5% in 2022 in Ankrum. No citizen made a comment at the public hearing prior to the vote. But citizens still have time to challenge the raises with a permissive referendum. This means if a petition requesting a public vote on the matter signed by 10% of the number of votes in the last gubernatorial election is submitted within 45 days of the vote, then a public vote must be conducted. Read more about this story in the Columbia paper.
Andrea Macko is reporting for Porcupine Soup that Hunter Mountain Ski Bowl has taken legal action alleging trademark infringement against the Mountain Creek Inn, which is also known as Hunter Mountain Resort. The matter was filed in December in the U.S. District Court for the Northern District of New York against the resort, located on Route 23A in Hunter, and its owner, Valentina Glebova. The ski resort alleges the defendants, quote, provide low-budget and inferior lodging services comprised of a few small cabins, unquote, and, quote, are offering such services under a name and sign that are virtually identical to the Hunter Mountain marks, unquote. Hunter Mountain accuses the business of deliberately setting out to lead consumers into believing the inn is affiliated or associated with the ski resort, citing its use of, quote, confusingly similar, unquote, design mark on the inn's sign. According to court papers, the defendants failed to respond to two cease and desist letters sent in July and August of 2020. Quote, over the last year, there have been numerous instances of people arriving at plaintiff's Hunter Mountain lodgings believing that they had reserved accommodations with the plaintiff when in fact they have reserved accommodations for defendants' facilities, unquote, the lawsuit alleges. Hunter Mountain Ski Bowl opened in January 1960 and is now part of the Colorado-based Vail Resorts Network. It is looking to recover damages, profits, as well as cost, attorney's fees, and more, according to the complaint. Hunter Mountain Ski Bowl is represented by the Davis and Gilbert firm of New York City. Read more about the story at porcupinesoup.com.
Scott Stafford reports in the Berkshire Eagle that Kimber Francoeur, 30, died January 4th at the Jiminy Peak Mountain Resort when the snowmobile she was operating collided with a snow groomer. Mary Hoy, area director of the Springfield Office of the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, said, and I quote, we are aware of what happened and a complaint officer is assigned to look into it, end quote. Hoy said it was not the first time that she heard of a snowmaking death on a mountaintop. So far, the Berkshire District Attorney's Office ruled Francoeur's death was an accident. The Massachusetts Coalition for Occupational Safety and Health issued a statement about the mountaintop death. And I quote, although tragic events like this are most likely to occur at construction sites and loading docks, workers working around mobile equipment in any setting are at risk. It is extremely important that employers train their employees to be aware of the paths of moving vehicles, backing vehicles, and blind spots, and implement safe equipment operation practices, end quote. While safety experts warned of the dangers of snowmaking,
Adrian Sayer Isaac, Director of Marketing and Communications for the National Ski Area Association, said ski area snowmobile deaths are, and I quote, extraordinarily rare. The ski industry as a whole shares and highlights those rare incidents to help us all learn and protect each other, end quote. Locally, besides the Jiminy Peak Mountain Resort in Massachusetts, there is the Catamount Ski Resort on the state border in Columbia County and resorts in Windham and Hunter in Greene County. Read more about this story in the Berkshire Eagle.
Nick Reisman is reporting for New York State of Politics that Rich Azzopardi, a longtime spokesperson and advisor to former Governor Andrew Cuomo, announced January 10th the formal launch of his new public relations firm, Bulldog Strategies. The firm will handle, quote, communications, crisis communications, and policy advancement, quote, according to the announcement. Quote, I've never shied away from the tough challenges, as few battles worth waging are easy, unquote, Azzopardi said. Quote, experience and expertise matter, and if you hire Bulldog Strategies, you will get a battle-tested and relentless advocate who will fight tooth and nail for you, unquote. Cuomo is expected to remain an Azzopardi client. He served as Cuomo's senior advisor and communications director for more than 9 years. Since Cuomo's resignation in late August, Azzopardi has continued to work as the former governor's spokesperson. Before entering politics, Azzopardi was a reporter. His first job was with the Register Star in Hudson, covering police and courts, writing on a variety of topics from sexual misconduct by priests and corrections officers, new restaurant openings, drug busts, the arrest of Alf's TV father, and more. He went on to write for the Berkshire Eagle in Great Barrington, Massachusetts, and the Daily Gazette in Schenectady before joining the State Senate Democratic Conference as an assistant press secretary to begin his political ascent. Read more about the story at NewYorkStateOfPolitics.com.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Tuesday, sunny with a high near 12 degrees, with wind chill values as low as minus 12 degrees. Tuesday night, partly cloudy with a temperature low of around 3 degrees and wind chill values as low as minus 4. And on Wednesday, partly sunny with a high near 32 degrees and Wednesday night, partly cloudy with a low of around 23. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
You have tuned into 90.7 WGXC on Tuesday, January 11th, and you'll hear all sorts of creative community voices today, including at 10 a.m. Catskills' Corey McClaskind is in with the Forgotten Geek Show. That's followed at 11 a.m. by Early Electro Mix, the program that this week tunes in composers Leo Kupper, Mario Davidowski, and Lars Gunnar Boden, among others. Then at noon, after the local news, it's time for the Overlook Show from Rob Saffer. Today he's revisiting 1960s free jazz. At 2 p.m., Algorithm as Ritual tunes in Burial, Kelman Duran, Josephine Foster, and others. At 3 p.m., it's time for the Radio Art Hour, today featuring artist Newt Offerman and Gregory Whitehead. At 7 p.m., it's time to dim the lights with Jenny and Amanda. Jenny Getty and Amanda Lees talk about the latest in movies and some of their favorites. At 8 p.m., Andy French hosts Crawl Out from the Fallout from Hudson. And at 10 p.m., it's time for the Battlefield Earth program with Dan Seward live from somewhere in Columbia County on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.
To get a local event mentioned on All Together Now, go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page, and copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
the Catskill High School Interact Club has scheduled its Martin Luther King March for Peace and Justice for February 17th. The event meets at the Second Baptist Church in Catskill at 5 p.m. Then a candlelight march starts at 5:15 p.m. The group will march from the Second Baptist Church, that's at Upper Main Street on Catskill, to the Greene County Courthouse, to the Catskill Middle School lawn. That is, again, the Martin Luther King March for Peace and Justice, February 17th, organized by the Catskill High School Interact Club. Go to the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org for more information about this event and many other community events in your area.
Hey, this is Andy, host of Crawl Up from the Fallout with Raven Sings the Blues. The show is a monthly roundup of new music plumbing psych, folk, cosmic Americana, indie, garage, and exploratory titles alongside enough classic gems to hold it all together like glue. You can tune into the show every second Tuesday of the month from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Tuesday, January 11th. It is terribly cold this morning, 0 degrees in Tuscan and 12 degrees in Kingston early on. A high of only 15 degrees is expected, but it looks like the southern regions may be a little bit warmer. Stiff wind is expected today, so conditions will be sub-freezing. Going outside is not really advised. If you do, layer up. Grab gloves and hats and make sure you have a wind protection layer. People outside today could develop frostbite in less than 2 hours if not properly protected. Overnight temps reach 5 degrees, another tap runner. After midnight, however, things start warming up. Tomorrow we'll have a high of 32 degrees and some strong wind gusts in the morning. Wednesday night we'll have a low of 34 degrees. Thursday is looking dry with a high of 38 degrees and some calm winds. Maybe the nicest day this week, actually. 22 degrees overnight takes us into a freezing Friday with a high of only 26 degrees and a morning dusting of snow. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 4:11 a.m., high tide at 10:09 a.m., then low tide again at 4:58 p.m., and high tide again at 10:27 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 32 degrees. Sunset today will be at 4:29 p.m., and sunrise tomorrow will be at 7:18 a.m. Looking way up, we see a pretty quiet planetary neighborhood. The next plasma stream is due this weekend. Solar wind speed is currently 396 kilometers per second at 7.8 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 4 megahertz till dark, then fair below 30 megahertz overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 2, quiet. The current sunspot number is 38. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Michael Gassman of Arlington, Virginia. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
Right in the yellow. And then I'm just, there's good news. Good evening.
I'm afraid of the world. I'm afraid I can't help it. Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we are following our democracy in historic times.
This buildup of nearly 100,000 Russian troops in recent weeks, we've called it unusual, we've called it massive, we have called it concerning. It is all of those things.
The U.S. is entering day two of a week-long series of diplomatic talks with Russia in the latest attempt to find a middle ground between NATO and Russia over increasing tensions along the Ukrainian border, where State Department spokesperson Ned Price says nearly 100,000 Russian troops have amassed in recent months. The New York Times reports the troops have surrounded Ukraine on three sides in what NATO leaders fear is a possible prelude to military action. But Defense Department spokesperson John Kirby says the Pentagon is letting the State Department take point on the discussions.
We're very much in support of diplomacy taking the lead here to try to find a way to de-escalate the tensions and to get to a better outcome. We're fully in support of that.
Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says the chamber will hold a vote to attempt to pass new voting rights legislation later this week. The bill will almost certainly fail as Democrats haven't been able to secure a 60-vote filibuster-proof majority.
Everyone in this chamber will have a chance to go on record. Will Republicans join Democrats in a bipartisan manner to move forward on defending democracy? Or will they once again mount a filibuster and offer their implicit endorsement of the big lie?
Democratic Senators Joe Manchin of West Virginia and Kyrsten Sinema of Arizona remain opposed to eliminating the filibuster, which would allow measures to pass with a simple majority. Meanwhile, a Wisconsin judge is permitting a partisan investigation into the November 2020 election to continue, for now. The review is led by former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman at the behest of Republican leadership in the state's legislature. Wisconsin's Democratic Attorney General sued to block subpoenas Gableman issued to state election officials, but a circuit court judge ruled Monday the investigators' subpoenas were valid. The review has been criticized by voting rights groups, Democrats, and some Republicans, including Senator Kathleen Bernier, chair of the Wisconsin Senate's Committee on Elections, who has accused Gableman of undermining the democratic process.
When Benjamin Franklin came out of the convention and our Constitution was created, he was asked, what kind of a government do we have? And he said, a republic if we can keep it. We're in jeopardy of losing it.
Politico reports Republican Representative Jim Jordan of Ohio is resisting an interview request from the panel tasked with investigating the January 6th insurrection. Jordan, a staunch Trump ally, wrote in a four-page letter to the panel's leader the request was a, quote, unprecedented and inappropriate demand, unquote. I'm Jonah Chester for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
We'll be right back. You're listening to The Morning Show on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Next up, we have brand new music from 2022 from Hudson-based band Buke and Gace and the So Percussion troupe that is largely based on the Bard College campus. This song is called Hold It In from Buke and Gace and So Percussion.
Take your own advice and get you to hold it in.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
We're joined today by Liz Moran, who is the new New York policy advocate for Earth Justice. And we're going to be talking with Liz about some of the legislative priorities, mainly around environmental issues for Earth Justice this session. So Liz, let's start with a two-part question. Brief overview, what is, you know, Earth Justice? And then just rapidly outlining, you know, what some of your legislative priorities are, then we'll go into more details on a few of them.
So Earth Justice is a nonprofit law firm, and we represent a number of clients, and we are also a national advocacy organization. We prioritizing fighting the climate crisis and getting our society off of fossil fuels, ensuring that everyone has access to clean air and water and a environmentally safe environment. And we also work to protect our natural resources. So I do Earth Justice's work in New York. We have a Northeast team, and we're super excited to advocate for strong environmental policies in New York State. To the second part of your question, what we'll be prioritizing in Albany this year, we've got a lot before us. Governor Hochul came out with what many see as a pretty strong state of the state address. So far, there have been some exciting announcements from her administration on climate. In particular, she announced, her administration announced a denial of the permits for the Danskammer and Astoria fossil fuel plants. And we think that was a really good sign for her administration. So we're going to be looking for more things like that that'll move New York State off of fossil fuels.
Now you mentioned those two denials of the fossil fuel plants. I think what was particularly relevant was that they cited the new climate law, CLCPA, as leading to that decision. So it seemed to be putting some teeth into the law. Now, you, of course, we've been on the show a couple times for NYPIRG. And one of the issues that you've been personally and professionally taking a lot of lead on has been the cryptocurrency issue. Can you explain that? And that didn't seem to make it into the state of the state by Governor Hochul yet.
Yeah, it was unfortunate that we didn't see the governor address this in her state of the state. And we do hope that she'll take a position and announce something publicly very soon, because this is a rapidly growing industry that stands to jeopardize the state's abilities to meet its climate goals. So to explain that for your listeners, because I think a lot of people are hearing so much more about crypto now, but don't understand why it has such detrimental climate impacts. So there are different ways to make cryptocurrency. It's called mining. And the most popular method is called proof of work cryptocurrency mining. And this methodology utilizes mega computers, in many cases, hundreds or thousands of them, that work 24/7 to compete amongst one another to complete complex math equations. Whichever miner completes the equation first wins the cryptocurrency and gets to validate it. So what happens is all of these entities are competing amongst one another. So that's why they're constantly running these computers to compete for the coins. This utilizes a tremendous amount of energy. It's been estimated that globally, cryptocurrency mining consumes as much energy as a number of small countries. It actually recently was found that cryptocurrency consumes as much energy as the entire state of Georgia. So if this industry is allowed to continue growing, we're going to find ourselves in a very challenging place to meet a number of the state's climate goals, including our goal to have enough renewable energy to meet our energy needs in New York.
Now, you know, another key climate issue is the concept that we need to electrify, you know, our buildings and our transportation. We want to, you know, move the electrical system, you know, to 100% clean renewable energy as soon as possible. The, you know, governor did talk about some legislation to restrict new basic gas ban legislation moving forward, new gas ban hookups, and also a bit about electrification of school buses. Does our proposals go far enough?
It's so important that we do transition everything to being electric. The key steps to making sure we can fight the climate crisis is reducing our energy consumption and electrification, which will enable us to move off fossil fuels. So as you said, the governor did announce a number of proposals, and we're really excited about a number of them. We'll start with banning gas for new construction. This is just such a common sense move. We know that the technology is readily available and there we don't need to be constructing new homes and businesses to rely upon gas. So the governor proposed a deadline of 2027, but we feel that that's a bit too slow. New York City recently adopted a law, Local Law 154, which bans gas for new construction starting in 2024 for smaller buildings and 2027 for larger buildings. But there's no reason the state can't go even further than that. There's legislation carried by Assemblymember Gallagher and Senator Kavanaugh that would prohibit gas for new construction in all buildings starting in 2024. So we're strongly pushing Governor Hochul to adopt that legislation and include it in her 2022 budget.
And on the school bus issues, and I know that one of the bills you're also working on is the green transit, green jobs.
Yeah, that's right. So we feel that, of course, like buildings, we need to electrify vehicles as well and get them off of fossil fuels and establish new charging stations, things like that, having more infrastructure in place, which were also part of the governor's address. But school buses are a particularly sensitive issue because we have children that go on school buses. We have school bus drivers on buses every day. And many of these buses rely upon diesel, which is a very polluting fossil fuel and can harm children's and adults' health. So the governor has proposed shifting school buses off of fossil fuels by, or electrifying school buses by 2035. So we're quite pleased with that. But we're going to be reviewing the details more closely to make sure that her proposals are as expansive as possible and address as many vehicles as we know should be tackled.
So we have about a little under 2 minutes left. So in with a two-part question. I know you mentioned earlier before we got on the air, a number of other bills, lead related personal care products, products that contain PFOS. What are quickly some of your other priorities? And if people want to find out more about what Earth Justice is doing in New York, how best they can do that?
Sure. So we are very concerned about toxic chemicals in people's homes, in their products, and, you know, the way they could end up in drinking water. And a class of chemicals that has posed a particular concern here in our area, Hoosick Falls, had to deal with a PFOA crisis. PFOA is part of this large class of chemicals called PFAS. So we're going to be pushing for legislation that tackles PFAS as a class this legislative session and starts prohibiting this entire class of chemicals from being used in different products. For example, Assemblymember Pat Fahey carries legislation that would prohibit PFAS from being utilized in textiles. It's very common for PFAS to be in waterproof clothing items, for example. When those items of clothing get washed, it leads to PFAS entering the wastewater system, which can in turn end up harming our waterways, wildlife, et cetera. So that's the kind of legislation we'll be looking at this session and strongly advocating for, among a number of other pieces, but I know we don't have time to go into everything.
Right. You have a website people can check in on?
Yes. Folks can learn more about our organization by visiting earthjustice.org, all one word, earthjustice.org.
Thank you very much. This has been Liz Moran, New York policy advocate for Earth Justice, and Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
You have tuned into 90.7 WGXC on Tuesday, January 11th, and you'll hear all sorts of creative community voices today. including at 10 a.m. Catskills' Corey McClaskind is in with the Forgotten Geek Show. That's followed at 11 a.m. by Early Electro Mix, the program that this week tunes in composers Leo Kupper, Mario Davidowski, and Lars Gunnar Boden, among others. Then at noon, after the local news, it's time for the Overlook Show from Rob Saffer. Today he's revisiting 1960s free jazz. At 2 p.m., Algorithm as Ritual tunes in Burial, Kelman Duran, Josephine Foster, and others. At 3 p.m., it's time for the Radio Art Hour, today featuring artist Newt Offerman and Gregory Whitehead. At 7 p.m., it's time to dim the lights with Jenny and Amanda. Jenny Getty and Amanda Lees talk about the latest in movies and some of their favorites. At 8 p.m., Andy French hosts Crawl Out from the Fallout from Hudson. And at 10 p.m., it's time for the Battlefield Earth program with Dan Seward live from somewhere in Columbia County on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Did you hear that?
No. Thank you. I'm